In the 1970s, most people in the medical community didn't believe it was possible to use a patient's own body to attack cancer cells and slow tumor growth. Dr. Steve Rosenberg did, and advanced the field of immunotherapy. Dr. Rosenberg is chief of the surgery branch at the National Cancer Institute at the National Institutes of Health and a finalist for a Service to America Medal in the Career Achievement category. You've spent 40 years as chief of surgery at NCI, and yet the profile that the partnership has up says that a lot of your work has been devoted to finding non-surgical treatments for cancer. Tell me about immunotherapy, what it is and what it does, sir. Thanks for your time today.
Sure. Well, that's correct. I'm a surgeon, but I also trained as a scientist. In addition to finishing my surgical residency in Boston at the Brigham Hospital, I got a PhD in biophysics at Harvard before I actually came down to the NIH as chief of surgery. I've been studying immunotherapy, and that is a new way to treat cancer that takes advantage of the body's own immune system to fight the disease. We have three general other ways to treat cancer that are standard: surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. But this is quite different. Half of all people who develop cancer can't be cured by those standard treatments, and so we're trying to develop new treatments that don't involve an external force like a scalpel, a radiation beam, or a drug, but rather take advantage of the body's own natural defenses against the cancer. And over the years, we've been able to develop several new immunotherapies for cancer that can be quite effective.
Your colleague, Dr. Harold Varmus, said you began working on this back in the 1970s, and people were not convinced that this was possible to work. What was the skepticism that people had, and what drove you to think that this was something that you should stick with?
I saw a fascinating patient when I was a resident in surgery at the Brigham who had undergone a spontaneous regression of his cancer. It was a cancer of the stomach that had spread to the liver. That's a very rare event, one of the rarest events in medicine, to see cancer shrink in the absence of therapy. But I witnessed this veteran who had that occur. I wrote one of my first publications on that subject. Somehow, that patient's body had learned how to destroy the cancer in the absence of other treatment, and that intrigued me substantially. When I came to the NIH in 1974, there were no effective immunotherapies for cancer in the human. There was no knowledge that, in fact, cancer had antigens, or there was even an immune reaction against cancer. But it seemed intuitive that cancer would be recognized by the immune system as a non-self, as something foreign, in the same way that it rejects viruses and bacterial diseases. And so I set upon that quest when I came here as chief of surgery in 1974. And finally, actually 10 years later, in 1984, we published the first case of an effective immunotherapy for a patient who had widely metastatic melanoma. We treated her in 1984 with an immune stimulant called interleukin-2 that we had helped develop. And all of her metastatic cancer disappeared, and I saw her a few months ago. She's now 30 years later and completely disease-free. She was the first patient to ever respond to an immunotherapy. And once we saw that by the administration of a stimulant of the immune system called interleukin-2, that showed us it was possible. And that then led to the next 30 years of work trying to find ways to improve it, and I think we've improved upon it substantially.
1988, you developed adoptive cell therapy. What's that, sir?
Adoptive cell therapy is a form of immunotherapy that uses a patient's own immune system as a drug. Lymphocytes, which circulate in our body, we all have about 1 million lymphocytes circulating in our body in every milliliter of blood, are the immune warriors of the immune system. They're the kinds of cells that attack foreign invaders. And so we developed this adoptive cell therapy that was first effective and reported by us in 1988, in which we take out a patient's own lymphocytes. We identify the lymphocytes that can recognize the cancer, educate them to be even better outside the body, grow them to large amounts, and then give them back to the patient. So in a sense, we're using the patient's own immune cells to treat their own cancer, and it's now quite effective. We can get good cancer regressions in over 50% of patients, and in about a quarter of patients, they have complete regressions of their metastatic disease that appear to be permanent throughout their natural lifespan.
Dr. Rosenberg, what has changed in not just the methodologies or the science that you've developed, but in the structure of cancer research in the time that you've been involved with it? What is different about conducting the work that you do every day today than it was 20 or 40 years ago?
Well, to make progress, one, in science, and especially in the translation of scientific information into patient treatments, requires intuition about how the body works and what might work and might not work. But it also depends on having the tools available to perform the kinds of studies that one thinks are necessary. And it was this revolution in molecular biology that led us first to make IL-2 in sufficient amounts by using genetic materials, recombinant engineering to make the interleukin-2. And now our ability to sequence the genome and detect all of the mutations in a cancer can now be performed in our lab in 48 hours, whereas the original sequencing of the human genome took 2 years and multiple billion dollars. So it's been the evolution of tools that enable us to identify at a molecular level the changes in a cancer that's had dramatic impact on our ability to develop new treatments.
Dr. Steve Rosenberg is Chief of Surgery at the National Cancer Institute. You said in the profile that the Partnership for Public Service has about you, and we have a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We're now in a period of enormous change, and we hear this about other areas of medical research as well. Do you have a sense of where we are on that, or is technology driving this change and the research capabilities that you just described driving that change in such a way that it's impossible to place where we are on a landscape or a map?
Well, the changes in the ability to sequence the human genome have altered drastically, even in the last several years, such that what used to take many, many months, if not years of work, can now be done in days. And it's the availability of that technology that has allowed us to ask and answer questions that were not approachable before that technology became available. And so this revolution in understanding the human genome, the impact and interactions of genes with one another has enabled a kind of progress that wouldn't have been possible years ago. And so we're now, I think, in the midst of a series of work that is very hard it's very hard to predict where that's going to end up. But progress is certainly being made at a pace now that we haven't ever seen before.
The partnership's profile says you and your team are currently working on checkpoint inhibitors that wake up the immune system, and it says you're working on them with partners around the world. Who are your partners, and how does the idea of a checkpoint inhibitor work?
Well, checkpoint inhibitors are molecules that can take the brakes off the immune system. The immune system is like every physiologic system in the body. There are ways to enhance its activity that are natural, and there are ways to inhibit its activity inside the body. We have hormones that will increase gastric secretion of acid and hormones that will prevent it. And the immune system is the same. It has regulatory cells that inhibit immune reactivities. And these checkpoint modulators are antibodies that can block the inhibitors. In other words, it takes the brakes off the immune system so the immune system can be more active. A good deal of our work is involved in using these cell transfers of immune cells that can attack the cancer and cause it to disappear. And we're now in the process of combining that cell transfer with checkpoint inhibitors to look to see if we can't even further improve it.